Howdy. How y'all tonight? It's always a blessing to stand in the pulpit and preach God's word, but it's also a fearful thing because we're responsible for what we teach and preach, and we're going to be held accountable for it. So I've never been asked to repeat a message before. I've asked to slow down and stop and not preach so long, but to have a message repeated is not something I've been asked before. And I need prayer in that area because, like Pastor just said, we had a good time over at the Albemarle last week, and God has a way of taking what has been said. I'm a preacher that don't do notes well. I try to allow the Holy Spirit to preach through me. So I don't have any background information to give you guys other than what God has given me to share with you tonight, okay? So I have one prayer, and I like to pray it real quick. And that prayer is, Father, that I will decrease, that you may increase in me, and the Spirit of God will be made manifest in our presence. Thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, it is impossible to understand the things of the Spirit, isn't it? My message, the title of it last week was, and I don't, it's not how you start, but how you finish. Amen? It's not how you start, but how you finish. We're coming out of the book of Ruth. And I did a lot of reading last week, but I'm kind of limited to the best of my ability. But the Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So I thank and praise God for liberty tonight. And y'all listen fast, and I'll talk fast, okay? Amen. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I appreciate the support. The book of Ruth, how many are familiar with the book of Ruth? Pretty much everybody, right? Book of Ruth is about a little Moabitess girl who married into a Jewish family. I got this sitting in church the other day, kind of giving an example of what I'm trying to get across. How many of us are familiar with the story of the hare and the tortoise?
Yeah.
So you understand that it's not how you start, but how you finish. Amen? Amen. Nobody in the world, if you were laying odds, if you were betting on the tortoise, you probably could get 1,000-to-1 odds in Las Vegas that the tortoise would lose. But we have to remember as Christians that it's not how you start, but how you finish. The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but those who endure to where? The end. Okay? God doesn't want us to fall by the wayside like the bad seed that was thrown by out in the field and it fell on stony ground. He does not want us to do that. He wants us to finish. And this is where I got this message from the book of Ruth. It inspired me because here we have a little Moabite girl who goes down into a land where she's not familiar with their customs, along with another girl, and marries into a Jewish family. And seems like instantly the bottom falls out. Let me start in the first chapter. It says, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." That's a bad start right there. Can you imagine? Here you are. First thing happens to you, you're caught up in a famine. We can't relate to that. We can only spiritually relate to it because the Bible says that it happened. A famine, everybody knows what a famine is. That's when you don't have nothing going on for you. I mean, you can't squeeze thinking about Brother Maurice and the beets. You can't even squeeze no juice out of anything. It's so bad. Okay? So, and the second part is, and in a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Bad move. History of Moab is terrible, isn't it? We've been studying in the book of Samuel, and we should have some idea what the Moabites were all about. Moabites were offsprings of, anybody know who? Lot, in his incestuous relationship with his daughter. Everything seems to be against these people. Ruth is the only other female that a book in the Bible is written about. She's also in the line of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. God's grace is all over the place, ain't it? That rhyme, too. God's grace is all over the place. That might be a song. And Judah went sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. This is where I transitioned from focusing on the person of Ruth to focusing on the main character that I want to preach about tonight. And that person is Naomi. Naomi did not have any good reason naturally to want to serve the Lord. Everything was happening to her. It says in verse 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So what follows then? And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Things are going pretty good. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Hello. Both her sons are now dead. Also, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with the daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord visited his people in giving them bread. Now the famine has subsided. Now she's got a purpose. She's saying, now I'm going to raise up my feeble arms, and I'm going to get back to home because the famine has subsided. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Bible tells us to honor thy father and thy mother. But it doesn't say that about a mother-in-law or a father-in-law. But it applies. Because at this point in time, Naomi has become their parent. Okay? This is a side note. When you marry into a family, you become a part of that family. Amen? Okay? You take on their name. You take on their identity. And you should take on the same characteristic that you have with your parents, as well as your in-laws. For y'all that know something about in-laws, It's a tough road to plow, isn't it, in some situations. But we are Christians who should be able to overcome that and show that love in a relationship that's different from the world. We're called as Christians to be different from the world. We should love even our enemies. So why not love our in-laws? Okay? This is what happened in this instance. Naomi said to her two, go back, leave. You've done good. The Lord grant you, verse 9, that you may find rest, each of you, in his house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, no. Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Impossible. She's trying to do everything in her power to discourage them from hanging with her. How many of y'all have tried to, in past years or even recently, try to get somebody to stop following or doing certain things because of the fact that, you remember when, before you got saved, how, I think Pastor made a mention of this other day in Sunday school about being an apple, how did you put it? No, when you were talking about the father-son thing, being like your father. Y'all remember that's being a chip off the old block. Well, that ain't always a good thing. Okay? But Naomi represented the quality that attracted them to her. So I asked the question to us tonight. Are we living a lifestyle that attracts people to want to be around us? Are we living in a way that people want to follow the Lord, not necessarily us? Are we being a good example? Are we being good role models to the children that will give them the desire to want to be like us? Not like Mike, but like us? Naomi lived a lifestyle that these two pagan, remember now, Naomi is a Jewish person. She lived a life before them that attracted them to her. They didn't want to leave her, verse 11. Naomi, and she went on to try to say and do everything in verse 13 to turn them away. But it was something about Naomi that they were attracted to. Amen? That's a good thing. I think of Miss Helen and how she is used of God in the young people's lives. It's something about her. I remember somebody telling Patsy a while ago, an old friend of ours, once we started reconnecting with some of the people in Northern Virginia where I grew up, told Patsy, said, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you got it. I want it. That was no reflection on Patsy herself, but it was a reflection on the Christ that's in her that was being reflected. Brother Lee knows Patsy personally. He worked with her. But just think for a minute. Are we living before the world or in our work environment that are attracting people to us? I have to confront people every day that I work with this question. Am I
representing the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto him. How are we going to finish this race if we continually allow the bumps in the road to affect our testimony? The unsaved people are just waiting to accuse us of not being. I know they won't know Christian. The first time something happens to us, they're pointing their finger at us because they're looking for a reason not to become Christians themselves. The Bible tells us to let our light so shine that all men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It also tells us that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Not always easy to do, is it? To put people first. Especially those who have, the Bible tells us to even bless those who have persecuted us and said all manner of evil against us. It's hard to do. But hard don't mean impossible, because we also use this scripture too. All things are possible for God. All things are possible for those who believe in God. I can do what? How many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. We use those very flippantly. We throw them out there like it's all right. And then we go and forget what manner of person we are. If we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then we should be able to live before the world in the same manner. God gives us the grace. He tells us that his grace is sufficient. And that means for every area of our lives. I am preaching to myself as much as I am that way. I use this example. When you see my fingers shaking, pointing at y'all, how many fingers pointing back at me? A whole bunch of them, maybe. Because this is for me also. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to do that is by following the word of God and the examples that he gives us through his saints. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. One out of two ain't bad, is it? If we could bet 50% in our witnesses, the angels in heaven would rejoice. If we could get 50% of the people that come in here on a voluntary basis as visitors, if we can get 50% of those folks, this church would be packed out by now. I've been coming 4 or 5 years now. If those people that came in that door multiplied by two, this place would be packed out. This is not what it's all about, but God does the math. He knows what 2 times 2 is. He knows what 1 plus 1 is. That's double of what we are dealing with. 50% is not bad, y'all. But we are still supposed to press for more than 50%. Our goal should not be limited. We shouldn't settle for 50%. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She said, please, don't force me to go. She said, this thing that you, this God that you serve, let me finish that verse, or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and what? Thy God shall be my God. That's a heck of a testimony, isn't it? And I don't think Ruth, like some wives and husbands that are married to unsaved individuals, preached to Ruth and Orpah. She just let her light shine. She just lived a life before them that drew her to the God that she served. It's obvious. Everybody knew about the God of Heaven by this time because they had heard reports of all the great things he had done all down through the ages. Ruth said, "Don't make me go back. I want what you have."
Are we living in a manner before people that they want what we have? "Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." This book normally is preached about Boaz and how he's the kinsman redeemer and all of these things, but for my purpose, I want us to continue to ask ourselves and remind ourselves, it's not always how you start, but how you finish. We have to run this race. We have to, yes, be weary. Do not be weary in well-doing, because in the end we'll reap if we do not faint. But if we give up before it is over, the Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4, it says, "Do not judge anything before its time." And that simply means only God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Only he knows the outcome. We have to continue walking by faith and not by sight and believing that God will bring us through whatever it is that's going on in our lives. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Whether we want to or not. Because there's sometimes we don't want to, isn't it? But we have to. Because through our prayers, the manifestation of the power of God comes to us in reality. Okay? We can expect God to do great and mighty things, but at the same time, if we're not letting him know what we want from him, it's kind of hard to get answers to prayers that we're not praying. How many of us want something from God in here tonight? These things should be spiritual, and it should be aligned with God's will for our lives. Amen? Not to be used for our own personal uses, not for our own personal gain, not for our own personal edification. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved. Fast forward a little bit. She went back with Ruth. Everybody knows the story about the kinsman redeemer aspect, pretty much. Kinsman redeemer is basically Christ in us. Boaz was the type of Christ to redeem Naomi and Ruth, which means personally, which means basically that they needed some help. Okay? They needed to be, in the non-spiritual sense, saved. Because they went back to Bethlehem with nothing other than a piece of land. Providence, I believe in providence, amen? I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God had already gone before Naomi and Ruth and already had touched Boaz's heart. So when Boaz saw Ruth out in the field gleaming, I'm moving a little fast, but most of y'all know the story. The thunderbolt started hitting him. He already was in love. I used this example last week. Fall in love at first sight. Did you fall in love at first sight with him? You did, huh?
I did.
See, one out of two ain't bad, is it, man?
That's right.
One out of two ain't bad. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Boaz fell in love.
He committed himself to be the kinsman redeemer to buy the property that Naomi originally had. Naomi had gone down and said, Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, verse 22, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning at the barley harvest. But in the process of her coming back, she had established a little bitterness in her heart because she thought God had left her. Do we ever get in a place where we feel that God has left us? I encourage you not to, because the Bible tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible goes on and tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our challenges. There's nothing. Bible tells us in Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. But you know what? We have a free will to appropriate that in which God has given us. If we ain't using it, we're going to lose it, y'all. Okay? God told us, Jesus told us in a parable, that when you don't use what he's given you, he'll take it and give it to somebody else. Use it or lose it. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm believing God for great and mighty things. Most of y'all know about it. And it's just about to happen. Amen? So at the end of the fourth chapter, I'm going to run a little ahead of time, a little ahead of it for lack of time. We see that the product of her, Naomi's faithfulness, brought to faith Ruth, who in turn brought a blessing to the nation of Israel through this genealogy. Now, these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. Who? Anybody familiar with that name, Jesse? Who's Jesse? And Jesse begat David. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. She came back hopeless, helpless, never being able to grasp, but she never stopped being faithful to the God that she was serving. She withstood all of that, and she returned to her country. Which to me is like turning from our sins to Christ. Okay? When we turn away, when we repent and come back to the Lord, because some of us have to repent. I know I've had to. And Jesus said to the disciples, when Peter comes back, when he's converted and comes back, then, go ahead and say that again, Lisa. Strengthen the brotherhood. Because we have, God allows us to go through some stuff in order to help somebody else. You know that? See, we can't test, our testimony is stronger and more powerful and more important when we have been there and done that. When we have the experiences we can relate to, we can depend on the Holy Spirit to use that experience to help somebody else. Okay? God tells us in his word. We go through stuff that we may be able to comfort others. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. He said, not some joy, he said, count it all joy.
Yes, amen, that's right.
All means what?
All.
It don't mean some. It means all. That's when you can rejoice. Like Paul said, he didn't say it one time, he said, and again I say, rejoice. See, because when we do this, not superficially, but because the Spirit of God is helping us to rejoice, then we give the devil a black eye, y'all. It strengthens us so that we can strengthen the brethren. It's our responsibility to strengthen one another, to come alongside one another. The scriptures tell us to bear one another's burdens. But the bottom line is, I'm going to go back to verse 13, chapter 4, real quick, then I'm going to close this out. And Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when she went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. She was shouting, y'all. She was praising the Lord, thanking God for something that only he could do. It came to pass. You know, that's one of my favorite parts of the scripture. It didn't come to stay. This too will pass. It didn't come to stay, y'all. So it's not how you start, but how you finish. How you living now. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and she became his nurse. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. God has a way of restoring faithfulness. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Expect great and mighty things from the Lord. And remember, the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your precious word. And we thank you, Father, for the attentiveness of the audience and congregation here. I pray, Father, that it will encourage someone's heart. I know it has me, to know that you reward faithfulness and you multiply it overly and abundantly above which we think or can even imagine. So I thank you, Father, that you will multiply your word tonight, today, tomorrow, and into all into the future. In Jesus' name, amen.